Hi.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, friends.
And Friday for when you're listening.
Happy Friday.
Going from the start of the week to the end of the week.
What's it like in the future, guys?
In the future, you're another year older.
I'm another year older.
Yes.
A lady never reveals her age.
You were about to.
I almost did.
Do you care?
No, I'm 26.
Yay! Your birthday is tomorrow from when we're recording.
It is.
On Tuesday, everyone go wish Emily a belated happy birthday.
All I want for Christmas and my birthday is for you to donate to MPS.
That'd be great.
Or even if you don't do that, just send me a poem.
I thought you were going to be like, just send me some money.
Just Venmo me. No, just Venmo me. Send me your poems. That's what I want for my birthday. I want to read all of your fun, beautiful work. Mark, who are you?
I'm Mark. I'm Marguerite, Virginia. Who are you?
I'm Emily.
And this is Millennial Poet Society. We talk about poetry. We talk about our lives. We talk about food and birthdays
and all the fun stuff,
everything.
We talk about a lot of things, mm-hmm. And we're on episode 40 this week, and we are so glad that you've come along with us for the past almost year.
Mm-hmm. Pretty soon we're coming up on it.
It's amazing.
And we're already in week, is this the second or third week of January?
The second.
That's crazy.
Well, the second full week, but it started on a Tuesday, so like almost the third week.
That's insane.
This is a long month.
Yeah, so weird. But thanks for being here with us. I just want to say real quick, don't forget we have our Who's to Say episodes coming out soon. We need your submissions. We need many submissions so that we can make a nice full long season two. Those are our Who's to Say episodes, are our main not our main episodes. They are our mini episodes where we talk about self-published or unpublished poets, meaning like full collections. If you've had works that are published in magazines and that sort of thing, but you don't have a full collection published, we still want your work and we want to be able to share it with everyone else. So you can send that to millennialpoetssociety@gmail.com, or which will be in the notes of this episode, or you can find it on our Instagram page. Just search for MPS_podcast, or find us on Facebook. Call us, beep us if you want to reach us. We want to hear from you. Send it all over.
We love reading your stuff. Like I said, give us all of it. The stuff Everything. You have proofread a million times. The stuff you just wrote yesterday. We want it all. How are you? What's new?
Oh, I don't know what's new. Today was a really good Monday. Like, it felt really nice. I got to the gym. Like, today at work, I felt very productive. I got out, like, right on time, which I've been trying. Like, last week, I left late every single day, which I love my job, and I don't mind staying late, but I only get paid until a certain time, so I would like to leave on time. And
ideally, yeah.
And it just feels good to get everything done, like, when I'm supposed to get it done, like, within the amount of time. So, yeah, but today was also really busy. Like, this morning was very, very busy, but I still was able to get stuff done. And then I got to the gym, and it was a really good workout, and, like, I got to do, like, faster speeds on the treadmill than I'm doing recently, and, like, yeah, it just felt really, really good, and I, like, didn't go in with a plan necessarily of what I wanted to do for a workout, but then I just, like, came up with two, like, really good sort of, like, power circuit sets, and it was good, and it was fun, and then I had a yummy dinner, and it was a good start to the week.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad your week is off, like, full throttle, all the way, doing really well.
That's good.
That's awesome.
How about you?
I'm good. I woke up and felt like today was going to be a long day and a hard day, mm-hmm. and I was not wrong.
Okay.
but my boss surprised the office with ice cream.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That's so fun.
We had like a little like, we were supposed to have an hour and a half, like the last hour and a half of the day to just like kick back our feet and like mingle with people. And I came in maybe like 20 minutes after it started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll just like go see what's going on.
Right.
And it was booming. Mm. And so I like stayed for a couple minutes, but then I went back to my desk and just kept working. And then I came back because I hadn't tried the chocolate fountain yet.
Oh, chocolate fountain.
I know. And so I went, and when I went back in, everybody was gone. And my boss was like, we have this stuff until 5:30. You want to hang? And I was like, I really want to, but I really have to do my work. I can't stay late tonight. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, well, bring a lot back to your desk. So it was kind of a weird Monday, but yeah. Ended on a sweet note. So
Literally,
it was
fun. Very fun. Yeah, I got some fun events coming up this week, too, that I'm looking forward to.
That's so good. One of the things I'm most looking forward to is going out to drinks tomorrow night.
Yes.
To celebrate with my roomies.
A new fun bar that we found, and it'll just be happy hour.
It will be happy hour. Just a good time all around.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, it is episode 40.
Yeah, that means you go first.
I go first. So I was going to do Tori Dent, and then I realized that we had already done her, and I did not want to pull another like week one of this new year I did. So I found someone else that I'm going to tell you about.
You can also do Tori Dent again if you wanted to, but like double check that you're not just like...
No, I know. But then I would have had to like go back and re-listen and like all this stuff. So I didn't really want
to
do that.
Just a chore to listen to our podcast.
Okay. So instead, we're going to do R.S. Gwynn.
Okay.
He was born Robert Samuel, or Sam Gwynn, in 1948 in Eden, North Carolina. He is an American poet, anthologist associated with New Formalism, which we will talk a little bit about later.
Yes.
He is now currently married and lives in Beaumont, Texas.
Beaumont? Where the hell is Beaumont?
What?
That's from... It's from Footloose.
Oh.
Have you ever seen Footloose?
I mean, maybe a long time
ago. The musical?
No, I know what it is.
You know the musical?
You know.
The musical?
I just...
The whole entire cast
is from
screams, Beaumont, where the hell is Beaumont?
Oh.
And it's the stupidest.
Is that just in like the stage musical version, or is it in the movie too?
I would be very surprised if everybody turned to the camera in the Kevin Bacon classic.
I haven't seen like the musical of it.
I would be so shocked if everybody was like, Beaumont.
Well,
no, then. I think it's just in the musical.
Okay. Well, that's why I didn't get the reference.
All right. Well, I've been in the musical like 3 times, so
yeah. I went to high school with someone whose last name was Beaumont, so that's how I recognized it.
Beaumont, like, spelled like the town?
Yeah. Their last name, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. No. This is nothing.
This is nothing.
Okay. So that's where he currently lives.
Cool.
He graduated from Davidson College in 1969, where he won the Vereen Bell Award for Creative Writing twice. He played varsity football and was a member of the school's championship team on the General Electric in the General Electric College Bowl some year that they won.
Wow.
It. Yeah.
Just like an all-around
competitive
person. That's really cool.
It's actually really cool. I came across someone on Instagram recently who, I can't remember his name. I have to find him sometime and maybe do him. But he is...
Sorry.
All right. He is an NFL football player and a poet and openly gay.
Wow.
Which is just like not many things that you find all together.
Right there.
So, yeah. But this RSK then did graduate work at Middlebury College's Breadloaf School of English.
Breadloaf
School of English is like what it was called.
Hey, what do you think we should name our School of English? I don't know.
Well, Breadloaf?
Dude, what if we named it Breadloaf?
What if we named it get bread loaf.
And then all those kids would pay thousands of dollars to go to Bread Loaf School of English.
So that's where he went for Jesus a little bit and Christ. Did post or yeah, postgraduate work or some graduate work. And then he later earned his MA and MFA from the University of Arkansas. Mm. His first full-length book, called The Drive-In, won the Breakthrough Award of the University of Missouri Press in 1986, and he also received the Michael Broud Award for Light Verse of the American Academy of Arts and Letters. He served as an original faculty member of the Westchester University Conference on Form and Narrative Poetry, and he was included in the first significant anthology of New Formalism.
Tell me about New Formalism. Are you getting there?
I'm getting there. In his introduction to Gwynne's volume, poetry volume, No Word of Farewell, Poems 1970 to 2000, Dana Gioia, a poet and the former chair of the National Endowment for the Arts, wrote, Gwynne is ingeniously funny and effortless and an effortless master of verse forms. No American poet of his generation has written better sonnets, and very few can equal him in the ballad, couplet, rondeau, or pantom, not to mention the half dozen new forms he has invented. Mm. Further, according to Gioia, Gwynne juxtaposes styles and subjects not customarily seen together, mythic and modish images phrased in language alternatively sublime and debased, but told with such force and imagination and assured musicality that the resulting poems seem not idiosyncratic but inevitable. Mm. So,
wow.
Lots of very descriptive.
Very descriptive words for that man. You know that man. He's descriptive in these ways. And that's what that man said just now in that quote. He said, this man is all those things.
He did. That's what
it's a lot of things.
His other publications include No Word of Farewell, Selected Poems 1970 to 2000. That's the one that that quote was from, the introduction of. He also has The Narcissiad, a book-length satirical poem.
Wow.
So, New Formalism. R.S. Gwynne works within and against the demands of complex verse forms such as villanelle, pantom, rondo, and in a voice at once wry and emotionally charged. The definition from the Poetry Foundation of New Formalism is a late 20th and early 21st century movement championed a return to rhyme and meter in poetry. New Formalist poets such as Dana Gioia, X.J. Kennedy, Brad Luthauser, and Marilyn Hacker responded to the popularity of the dominant free verse poetry of the 1960s and 70s by exploring the possibilities of prosody and form in their own work. Though not an orchestrated, coherent movement, New Formalism has been attacked by critics for its perceived retrogressive favoring of traditional metrical artifice over more recent experimental modes of free verse. The term New Formalism was first used in the article The Yuppie Poet in the May 1985 issue of the AWP newsletter, which was an attack on what was perceived as a movement returning to traditional poetic forms. In this article, the New Formalists were accused of not only social conservatism, but also of yuppie consumerism.
Oh, boy.
New Formalism was a reaction against various perceived deficiencies in the practice of contemporary poets. Dana Gioia, again, wrote, "The real issues presented by American poetry in the 80s will become clearer. The debasement of poetic language, the prolixity of the lyric, the bankruptcy of the confessional mode, the inability to establish a meaningful aesthetic for new poetic narrative, and the denial of a musical texture in the contemporary poem. The revival of traditional forms will be seen then as only one response to this troubling situation." Mm. So very sort of conflicting forms at the time, yeah, and people who felt very strongly about their sort of schools of thought.
Right. That reminds me of Imagism with Ezra Pound and Gertrude Stein, and just like how it was like you're either in or you're out, mm-hmm, with that style. Mm-hmm. And it's just very interesting.
Yeah.
History repeats itself.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere about R.S. Gwynn, he is the editor of Poetry, a Pocket Anthology, and New Expansive Poetry, Theory, Criticism, and History. His poetry has been featured in numerous anthologies and publications, and he has taught at Lamar University since 1976, and currently, as I said before, lives in Beaumont, Texas. So that is a little bit about R.S. Gwynn. And I am going to read his poem called Fried Beauty.
Okay.
Glory be to God for breaded things. Catfish, steak finger, pork chop, chicken thigh, sliced green tomatoes, pots full to the brim with French fries, fritters, life float, onion rings, hush puppies, okra golden to the eye, that in all oils corn or canola swim. Toward mastication's maw, oh, malorid mouth, whatever browns is dumped to drain and dry on paper towels, sleek, translucent scrim, these greasy, battered bounties of the South, eat them.
Yum.
And I just really liked that poem because it's about fried food. I really like fried food. And I think it also shows that, like, you can take this sort of more, like, he would use sort of traditional, more formal forms, but he was funny and satirical and would use it in a very modern way, which I think is so interesting that, like, modern poets were so, like, mad at them, this, like, new formalism, when it's like he's putting it in a very modern context.
Right,
and he's sort of modernizing this old form.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really enjoyed that poem.
That one sounded like it tasted good to say, too. Like, it was just, like, fun words strung together.
It was. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, that's R.S. Gwynn.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we'll take a little break, and then I'll be back with my poets.
Sounds good.
Okay.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Are we back?
We're back.
All right. Well, I have two pretty cool poets for you.
Awesome.
So I'll dive right in.
Yes, please.
The first one I'm going to talk about is Caroline Byrd. Caroline Byrd was born in 1986, and she is a British poet, playwright, and author.
Awesome.
She grew up in Leeds, England, the daughter of noted theater director and producer Jude Kelly. Hmm. Byrd attended the Steiner School in York, and the Lady Eleanor Hills School before she moved to London in 2001. She also studied English literature at Oxford, casually, and was also president of the Oxford Poetry Society.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Very cool.
Her first collection of poetry, Looking Through Letterboxes, was published in 2002, when she was just 15 years old.
Wow.
I know.
Amazing.
I know. It is a collection built on the traditions of fairy tale, fantasy, and romance. Mm-hmm. Her other collections include Trouble Came to the Turnip, Watering Can, The Hat Stand Union, and In These Days of Prohibition, which was shortlisted for both the T.S. Eliot Prize and the Ted Hughes Award.
Mm.
She's given poetry readings at the Royal Festival Hall, Latitude Festival, the Wellcome Collection, St. Hilda's College, Oxford, the Wordsworth Trust, and many, many others. She's currently one of the writers in residence for the charity First Story. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a really cool thing. It's an English nonprofit organization that encourages young people to write creatively for pleasure and agency.
Awesome.
And especially for, like, low-income youth.
Yeah.
She writes for them and, like, does workshops with them and is, like, a writer in residence, which is really cool.
That's very cool.
Bird's work has been praised for her clever usage of image, pun, and voice. Her poems have been widely anthologized, and in 2012, she was an official poet at the London Olympics, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Her poem, The Fun Palace, is on permanent display at the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. I, like, want to go back just to see it. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Caroline is also a successful playwright. She, under the guidance of Simon Stevens, she was the youngest member ever of the Royal Court Young Writers Program.
Wow.
Her plays include The Trial of Dennis the Menace, which debuted in 2012 in the Purcell Room at South Bank Center, as well as a new version of The Trojan Women for the Gate Theater in 2012. She's also written chamber piece for the Lyric Theater Hammersmith's Secret Theater season in 2013, and The Wonderful Wizard of Oz from for Northern Stage in 2015. Bird has published 5 books of poetry that I mentioned earlier, and much of her work has been included in anthologies and journals, including Poetry Magazine, PN Review, Poetry Review, and The North Magazine. She was a winner of the Poetry London competition in 2007, the Peterloo Poetry Competition for 3 years running, 2002, 3, and 4. She was a major Eric Gregory Award. She won a major Eric Gregory Award in 2002 and the Foyle Young Poet of the Year Award in 99 and 2000.
Oh my God.
So, like, before the age of 15, she was...
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. So, in addition to writing for First Story, Caroline Bird also teaches at the Arvon Foundation and currently lives in London.
Amazing.
That's all I know about her, but... She's really good.
She's done a lot, apparently.
So I'm really excited because this poem made me laugh when I read it. It's called Megan Married Herself. She arrived at the country mansion in a silver limousine. She'd sent out invitations and everything. Her name written twice with and in the middle. The calligraphy of coupling. She strode down the aisle to At Last by Etta James, faced the celebrant like a keen soldier reporting for duty, her voice shaky yet sure. I do. I do. You may now kiss the mirror. Applause, confetti, every single one of the 140 guests deemed the service unimprovable, especially the vows. So from the heart, her wedding gown was ivory, pointedly off-white. After all, we've shared a bed for 32 years, she quipped in her first speech. I'm hardly virginal, if you know what I mean. No one knew exactly what she meant. Not a soul questioned their devotion. You only had to look at them, hand cupped in hand, smiling out of the same eyes. You could sense their secret language, bone deep, blended blood. Toasts were frequent, tearful. One guest eyed his wife hovering harmlessly at the bar and imagined what his life might have been like if he'd responded years ago to that offer in his head. I'm the only one who will ever truly understand you. Marry me, Derek. I love you. Marry me. At the time, he hadn't taken his proposal seriously. He recharged his champagne flute, watched the newlywed cut her 5-tiered cake, both hands on the knife. Is it too late for us to try? Derek whispered to no one as the bride glided herself onto the dance floor, taking turns first to lead, then follow.
Wow.
I just think it's, like, so clever. The first thing I thought of after reading it was that this is, like, personification of radical self-love. You know, like, it just seemed like the kind of thing that was like, this is a farce, this is hilarious, she married herself,
right?
But then it's like, oh shit, she married herself. Like, she loves herself so much. And then this, for this guy, this guest at the party, to look at his wife and be like, okay, I love her, but what if I had just said yes to myself years ago?
Right.
Is it too late for us to try? Mm-hmm. Poor Derek. He's so sad in that moment. But also just, I just thought it was such a good blend of like funny and weird and exactly what they said she was best at, like just really good humor and this sort of like cunning, tongue-in-cheek style writing.
Right.
I thought it was hilarious. And I was like, everybody should read this fucking good poem. So
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. So that's Megan Married Herself. And if that's not the vibe I'm going into in my 26th year, I don't know what is.
Yeah. So I love it.
That's Caroline Byrd. And now I'm going to talk really quick, because I don't know much about him, about Jim Daniels.
Awesome.
Jim Daniels was born in 1956 in Detroit, Michigan. He is an American poet and writer. Since 1981, Daniels has been on the faculty of the creative writing program at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
He's fancy.
He's fancy. He is also the Thomas Stockham Baker University Professor of English at Carnegie Mellon, which apparently is a very high honor.
I guess so.
Daniels' literary works have been recognized and highlighted at Michigan State University in their Michigan Writes series. He also won the inaugural Brittingham Prize. In poetry in 1985 from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He attended Alma College and Bowling Green State University. And then just some of his works include, like literally just a few, include Factory Poems, published in 1979, On the Line from 81, Punching Out, No Pet, which was a screenplay from 94, Blessing the House, Night with Drive-By Shooting Stars, Show and Tell, New and Selected Poems, Birthmarks, Apology to the Moon, Street Calligraphy, and The Middle Ages, which was published in 2018. That's all I got for you on him. He must be a private person, or not much is known about him. Yeah. But
these modern poets.
I know, but it was this poem kind of struck me, so I wanted to read it for you.
Yeah.
It's called Brushing My Teeth. I'm sorry. It's called Brushing Teeth with My Sister After the Wake. At my kitchen sink, the bathroom upstairs clogged with family from out of town, spending the night after the wake and the after wake. Cold beverages have been consumed and comfort food, leftovers bulging both the fridge and the mini fridge. In our 50s, both half asleep, half awake, we face each other. My sister's smile foams white down her chin at the end of a day when no one has smiled. We laugh. We may never brush our teeth together again. No mirror down here to see our haggard faces. We rinse, we spit, as we were taught. I just thought that was a very vivid picture for a very simple moment. I grew up with a sister, and I grew up brushing my teeth with my sister, and and it is really oddly comforting just to have a little ritual with somebody who's been through their whole life with you, you know? And I actually, because I was thinking of my sister, because we had just spent a really fun weekend together.
Right.
I was like, I just typed in sister on Poetry Foundation.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll find a really pretty, like, beautiful poem about sisterhood or something. And I found this one instead, and it was oddly comforting in this, like, kind of dark, weird way. And I just thought, like, that's kind of what siblings are for. They're kind of for that awkward, like, in those moments of, like, what do I do with my hands? Or, like, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
You're able to look at your sibling, hopefully, and be like, I don't know, but I'm going to go with you.
Right.
And we're going to figure it out together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this image. I was like, this is like, that's something my sister would do, or that's something I would do for my sister.
Right.
So it just made me smile kind of in spite of myself, because I knew it was like a heavy place, but he found a little bit of joy and hope maybe for the future.
Yeah, it's a sweet moment in a very sort of sad, like, setting.
Yeah, and it's also sort of that comfort that comes with going back to your roots
mm-hmm.
when in crisis.
Like something familiar.
Yeah, something familiar, something I can relate to
mm-hmm.
in this moment where nothing makes sense.
Right.
You know, because I'd have to imagine that it was like the passing of one of their parents or something.
Something, yeah. Clearly like a relative.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was Jim Daniels, and I hope you enjoyed him.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him, but he has some good poetry out there. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all for me.
Very cool.
Well, on that note, thanks everybody so much for listening. And as always, you can give a special shout out to Zach Adkins for our intro and outro music, please. And also in the bottom of the show notes of this episode, you will find a link that will take you to a support page where you can donate as little as 99 cents a month and, you know, do it for my birthday.
Exactly.
Just like give me a little bit of a present.
Lend me some sugar.
Lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendly neighborhood podcaster is asking for help. And as always, you know that all those good pennies will go toward a good cause, like getting us new microphones or a better recording studio space or somebody to help us edit and mix the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Little things, you know.
Getting Delilah treats.
Yeah. Doesn't Delilah deserve some treats? We think so.
Mm-hmm.
All the treats.
She thinks so.
And if you are interested, you can rate and review this podcast wherever you're listening, and that helps us out a lot too. You can leave us a review, tell us what you liked about this podcast, tell us who you'd like us to talk about next week,
mm-hmm.
or send us your stuff.
That would be very helpful.
Send us your personal works, the stuff that you've written, you know, all those good ways for you to interact with us. We want to hear it. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
See you next week.